Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. I'd like to read. Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even though dogs were coming at licking his sores. Now it came about that the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his fingers in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this frame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophet, let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. This is the word of God. Today's title is When a Person Dies, Where Does Their Soul Go? The Part 1. When a person dies, where does their soul go? The Part 1. Today's message is something we are all very familiar with. I have preached on this topic more than twice before. However, even among those who believed in Jesus, I see many who do not know what will happen to them after death, and therefore live their lives of faith without the assurance of salvation, filled with anxieties. Especially the many live as if this worldly life is all there is, focusing solely on their earthly existence because they lack knowledge about what will happen to them after death. I also see many people whose hearts are captivated by the words of others and by things outside of the Bible. I pray that you and I may the first understand and grasp that death is according to the Bible, so that we are no longer dragged around by death, but instead may become those who follow the Lord and devote death. Amen. The death spoken of in the Bible is separations. The Bible speaks of three kinds of death. There is a physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. I'd like to leave it. There is a physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. The first, there is a physical death. This is a death we generally know where the soul and the body are separate. The second, there is a spiritual death. This does not mean that the spirit is dead, but that the soul of a person is separate from God. That is, God calls those who have departed from His word and rebel against Him as dead peoples. Since Adam, all humans have been separated from God and are therefore dead. Even though they are born with a physical life, they are dead people rushing toward death. On the other hand, even though they are rushing toward death, those who receive new life by believing in Jesus and receiving His life are called the living by the Lord. According to the Matthew chapter 8, verse 21 to 22, and another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my fathers." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead." Here, the disciples' fathers is one who has met physical death. Burying one's deceased fathers is a natural duty as a son. However, the Lord told the disciples, "Let the dead bury their own dead." How can the dead bury the dead? This means that the Lord regards those who do not recognize and believe in Jesus, who is life, as the dead. As the disciples who follow Jesus, who is life, you belong not to death but to life. Therefore, follow me, who is life. Through this, the Lord is solemnly declares through His word the separation between life and death. Even now, those who follow the words are separated into life, and those who do not follow are separated into death. Let's look at the John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." The Holy Spirit are also the one the church in the studies that they were dead. According to the Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, I like to read, "And to the angel of the church in the Sardis write, he who has the seven spirit of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deed, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." The statement that they have a reputation for being alive but are actually dead is a great warning to those who believe in Jesus in the last days. The church is gathering praise for those who believe in Jesus. In other words, it is a praise where the living, those who have received the new life through faith in Jesus, come together. However, after examining the heart of the believers in the Church of Sardis, the Lord who holds the seven spirits, the seven eyes, and the seven stars declare that they are spiritually dead. Why did the Church in Sardis receive these declarations of being dead from God? The first reason was that they were not awake. You can see that the Revelation chapter 3, verse 2 to 3 is, I like to read verse 2, "Wake up, and the strength, the things that remain which were about to die." So wake up, that means that they are asleep. "For I have not found your deed completed in the sight of my God. Remember there what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. If therefore you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you." Here's awake. In Greek is gregoreo, which means to watch, to be alert, to be vigilant. The Bible used this word frequently when referring to the Lord's returns, which will come like a thief, emphasizing that the church must be awake and vigilant as it waits for him. I like to tell, for example, in the Jesus said in the Mark chapter 13, verse 35, "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at the midnight, at crook and the clock crowing, or in the morning." So be on alert. That is a Gregorio. And also is the Apostle Paul also warned the Thessalonian church to stay alert. I like to read the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. "So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober." Are the shadows of the last days not like those of Noah and the lost times? Why were they destroyed? It was because they were preoccupied with the life of this world, eating, drinking, marrying, and selling. Even though they heard the warning of judgment, they were spiritually asleep, spiritually ignorant, thinking peace and security, and become people of the flesh, belonging into the night, and did not live a holy life, awake to the Lord's command and words of returns. So the Lord said of this, he talked to us in that the Luke chapter 21, verse 34 to 36. He is warning to us, be on guard, that your heart may not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day that come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The reason for the destruction in the days of Noah and the Lord applies equally to the last days. The Bible also warns the New Testament church, according to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 to 8. This is a very important verse. "For you yourself know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like a birth pangs upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Amen. Our love for church must never fall into such situations. We must not become dual-minded with the cares of life and be separate as those belonging to darkness. We must live a life of earnest longing to stand before the Lord who is coming again, always praying and staying awake in the world. If we are not awake, we will become food for the lion, the devil, our enemy. According to the 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, The scripture said, "Be on sober spirit, be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." We fall into the devil's deception and become those who are deceived. Let's look at the Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, Jesus warning to us, "For false Christ and false prophet will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect." Such people are deceived by Satan and fall into sin again. So the scripture, so many praises is warning to us, even believing the Jesus, someone who believed the Jesus Christ. Let's look at the Hebrew chapter 6, verse 5 to 6. "And have tested the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. For these individuals, there is no possibility of repenting and becoming new peoples." Is Esau not a prime example? God did not grant him the opportunity to repent. According to the Hebrew chapter 12, verse 16 to 17, I like to read, "That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears." He only regretted losing the blessing, but did not value God's promise or the birthright of the firstborn, because he neither understood nor longed for God's will and act according to the desires of the flesh. There was no true repentance in him. Do we not see this image of Esau in our own lives? Though we claim to long for the eternal world, are we not still clinging to things that will perish in this world? Are we not putting human pride before God's work and resisting him? There must be true repentance. Even though those who have received the word and understood it, but continue to sin deliberately, will be condemned to eternal sin and cast into the lake of fire. This is very horrible. Let's look at the Hebrew chapter 10, verse 26 to 27. "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, so there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectations of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Furthermore, the most terrible sin is that those who hinder the work of the Holy Spirit among believers and in the church will also be cast into the lake of fire." Let's look at the Mark chapter 3, verse 29. "But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sins." This refers to those who trample on God's Son, regard the blood of the cross as unclean, reject and oppose the Holy Spirit working in my heart and in the church, and hinder the preaching of the word. The representative were the Hymenaeus, the Peletius, and Alexander. I'd like to read the 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, and the 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. Among these are the Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered over to Satans, so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. I'd like to read the 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. And their talk will spread like the gangrenes. Among them are Hymenaeus and the Pilatus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrected has already taken place, and thus they accept the face of Son. And they are like Demas, who left because the world was so appearing. Beloved saints, discerning spiritually what time it is in God's plan and preparing according, it's the only way to live. Let's look at the law, chapter 13, verse 11 to 14. And these two, knowing this time that is already the hour for you to awake from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh in regard its lust. Amen. Though the church in the Sardis had the appearance of faith, they neither keep the word nor recognize what the true problem was. Yet the Lord gave them the living word, urging them to remember how the church was established, how they had received the word and the mission given to the church. He showed them the way to life by keeping his word and promise, and by repenting. In this way, judgment will begin first in the church in the last days. You can find at the 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, for it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. It begins. God's people will be judged first. This is to distinguish the weak from among the righteous. Jesus said in the Matthew chapter 13, verse 49 to 50, I'd like to read, so it will be at the end of the ages, the angels shall come forth and take out the weak from among the righteous. Take out the weak from among the righteous, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We generally think that we obtain eternal life by believing in Jesus on this earth and then going to heaven after we die. However, the Bible clearly states that those who believe in Jesus have already obtained eternal life. The John chapter 5, verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Looking at the verb tense in the original language, receiving is not in the future tense, but in the past tense. In other words, the moment we believe in Jesus, we receive the life He brings as a gift and the life that begins to work within our souls. So we must believe that eternal life has already begun. Therefore, for those of us who believe in Jesus, eternal life is something that has already begun. It can be considered in the past tense. However, for those who do not believe in Jesus, since they do not have the life of God, they can only go to eternal death. We can call this state the third death, which is eternal separation from God. Then what kind of state is eternal separation from God? It is eternal entering hell. The Bible refers to this place as the second death, the lake of fire. Let's look at the Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. I'd like to read. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. When someone who is spiritually dead comes to believe in Jesus, they can be freed from that state. However, for those who do not believe in Jesus, those who remain in a state of eternal death in hell, there is no way for them to escape from the place. Let's look at the Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4 to 5. The scripture said, "For whoever is joined with all the living, there is a hope. Surely a live dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know they will die, but the dead do not know anything, nor have they any longer a reward, for their memory is forgotten." So that's why in the Dante's The Divine Comedy, the entrance to hell is inscribed with the words, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here." Hell is the very place where there is no hope. Human beings need hope. When we have hope, no matter how difficult or painful the journey may be, that hope enable us to endure and overcome even the harshest trials. However, those who take their own lives may each have had their own reason for doing so, but at the root of it, it was because they have had lost all hope. In trying to find the breakthrough, the through death, they sought an escape, but it is in vain. But what about the believers? Because Jesus is our living hope, no matter how much despair and discouragement try to kill our heart, we cannot die. You can see that the 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, is the Apostle Peter, he is a praise to God. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope, again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Amen. Therefore, hell, this eternal death, is not ours. We must never return to that the place the once we entered there. It is the end. There is no way out. Let's look at the Isaiah chapter 38, verse 18 to 19. They talk about the fearness about the hell. I'd like to read verse 18 to 19. "For soul cannot thank thee, death cannot praise thee, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for thy faithfulness. It is the living who give thanks to thee as I do today, a father tells his son about thy faithfulness. In today's passage, after rich man died, he ends up in Hades. This Hades is the place where the souls of those who did not believe in the Lord go after death until the final judgment. It is where the dead await their third and eternal death. At the time of the final judgment, all who are in that place will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. Let's look at the Revelation chapter 21 verse 8, and you can write down the Revelation chapter 20 verse 14. I'd like to read. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the immoral persons and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake of the burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In the next section, we will continue to testify through today's passage about what happened after death. Amen.